We must understand and end the human rights disaster that is occurring in occupied Palestine, and one way we can do that is by listening to voices that we would never hear otherwise. To hear Palestinian voices that go unheard in the corporate and state media, tune into this radio station every week. This is Kristen S. reporting from occupied Palestine.
This week, Israeli occupation forces continue to invade Rafah in the south of the Gaza Strip. This is an area that's suffered under continuous Israeli invasion, incursion, home demolition, and destruction for over a year. The Israeli military is building an 8-meter-high, 10-meter-deep closure wall, referred to as the apartheid wall by many, similar to the one that they are building around the West Bank. In building this wall, the Israeli military has taken aim on all of the Palestinian citizens that live in the area, demolishing hundreds and hundreds of homes. 2,000 were just rendered homeless in the last week. They've killed 9 people last week and another couple now. And this has been a particularly brutal invasion of an area that's already suffered so much. This is a continuation in the ethnic cleansing process. Those 2,000 Palestinians who are rendered homeless have nowhere to go. The Israeli military has attacked with Apache helicopters, F-16s, tanks, bulldozers, jeeps, and M-16 rifles. They shoot from sniper posts around the area. They shoot from the air. They shoot from the ground. This has been a full-on attack against the people. Of course, the Israeli occupation forces, as usual, have targeted the water supply, the electricity supply, and the telephone lines. Life is impossible to live in this area, in the south of the Gaza Strip. Similar things are going on in other areas. Of course, Jenin in the north of the West Bank has been suffering under Israeli invasion again. Of course, all of these areas are continuously occupied, but the invasions sometimes come much more harshly. At the same time, we're in the midst of something called the Switzerland Agreement that's being discussed. This agreement is between some Israelis and some Palestinians trying to work out some sort of agreement that people are considering to be similar to Oslo. What it leaves out, of course, is any possibility of the right of return. The right of return, UN Resolution 194, is an individual and collective right. Therefore, it cannot be negotiated. It cannot be left out. It's a right of every Palestinian to return. In addition to these two areas, of course, Israeli occupation forces have continued to go into areas of the West Bank and the Gaza Strip and taken people out of their homes because they say that they're on their so-called most wanted list. This wanted list is an arbitrary list that you can end up on for political party affiliation or for simply being a young Palestinian man. There's also been reports this week about the conditions of the Israeli prisons that Palestinian political prisoners get thrown into, child molestation, threats of rape, forced confessions because of these situations, prisoners under death threats and deep amounts of fear, telling the Israeli prison staff anything that they want to hear in order to get themselves out of danger. These reports have come in from the Palestinian Prisoner Society lawyers who visited the prisons recently. There's also many, many prisoners who have been disallowed to see their families, family members who are very worried about the state of health of their family members who are inside of the prisons, because they're unable to get any information about their medical conditions. One boy's testimony is he's suffering from a heart condition and needed to go to the hospital to receive medical treatment. He was actually taken to an Israeli hospital where the Israeli doctors did not look at him, nor did they treat him. He was just shipped straight back to the Israeli prison. These kinds of things are happening a lot. And, of course, upon being taken from their homes or their refugee camps in the middle of the night throughout the West Bank and the Gaza Strip, the Palestinians who are taken are generally beaten by the Israeli soldiers who take them. And the stories of horror are just uglier and uglier every day. But what we hear about in the meantime are things like the Israeli government saying that they are doing things like invading Rafah and destroying the people's lives there in order to search for tunnels. This has been the excuse used for the reason that they're building the closure wall. This has been the excuse used when they've demolished all of the homes that they've demolished, rendering so many thousands of people homeless. Of course, they often don't find any tunnels, and if they do, this area is occupied, this border is occupied by the Israeli army, but of course it's Palestinian area, and Egyptian on the other side. The Israeli occupying army certainly has no legal base under international law to even be in that area in the first place. Today we're going to talk with George from Bethlehem about what he thinks about the situation here. Bethlehem is an area that has lost many of its people to exile to the Gaza Strip. In last May of 2002, 26 were exiled from Bethlehem to Gaza, and after that, throughout the year, there have been others exiled, and now the total is to 60 people have been exiled from the West Bank to Gaza Strip. Of course, it's impossible to move between the West Bank and the Gaza Strip if you're a Palestinian, so if once you get exiled to the Gaza Strip, it means you don't see your family again. We're going to talk to George from Bethlehem now and get a sense of what he thinks about the situation. Thanks for being with us, George. Why don't you start by just giving a general rundown on what's been happening in your area? And I understand that Bethlehem is closed, as is most of the West Bank. Is it possible for you to move out of Bethlehem right now if you want to?
Well, a few months ago, the Israeli army said that they redeployed outside of Bethlehem, redeployed from downtown of Bethlehem. Actually, they just made Bethlehem my prison and made Bethlehem as a big prison for its people. Right now, it's almost impossible to leave Bethlehem, and people really need to leave Bethlehem. They have to travel through mountains and carry their things out on the mountains under all kind of weather circumstances. It is really difficult. It is very, very hard. It's very tough. Although this, the Israeli special commandos, special forces, they come into Bethlehem frequently and harass people. So you're in your home, and sometimes you feel like your life is really threatened, and it's not easy to live in Bethlehem because of the very difficult closure too.
And I understand that work is difficult to come by due to this constant closure, and the unemployment rate among Palestinians in the West Bank and the Gaza Strip in some areas reaches 90%. This is a crazy number of people to be out of work. So it looks to a lot of us like this is part of the ethnic cleansing process on the part of the Israeli government, that if the people are rendered jobless as well as homeless, it will be impossible for them to build themselves into having any sort of life. Any kind of life people can make for themselves is taken away in that regard. What are your thoughts?
Not just for the people who are living inside Bethlehem, although for the people living in the villages outside of Bethlehem. Bethlehem is the core of their life, and they, especially the farmers who farm their land and they come and sell their products and fruits and vegetables in Bethlehem. Because of the tough closure, they can't do this, so their life is badly affected. And, of course, they cannot import or export their fruits and vegetables to other places, including Israel. So it is very difficult life for them. As well, land confiscation makes it more difficult for them to continue cultivating their land. Besides this, Bethlehem highly depends on tourism, and since there's tough closure, the Israeli army always say that Bethlehem is a very dangerous area, so we don't have tourism. For the past 3 years, there hasn't been any tourism, and Bethlehem is a city where depends, like, the industry number one is tourism. So a lot of people became unemployed, really unemployed, and they don't have any source of living. This kind of policy have been utilized in from the beginning, even from the year 67 until now, which is the slow transfer and make your life as difficult, more difficult day by day, so you have to leave. So you have to find other places to live. And unfortunately, right now, it's reaching the level that some people cannot survive anymore. And really, we are having people who are devastated and desperate, and lots of people need real help. And we find lots of cases, especially the medical health. Some people cannot go to doctors. Some people cannot afford buying medicine to their children, not besides food and other things. But really, really, it is a really big problem.
You mentioned something about land confiscation. And we know in international law, all settlements are illegal.
Mm-hmm.
We also know that under the roadmap, they were required to cease the construction of any new settlements, and that included natural settlement expansion, and to dismantle any settlements built after March 2001. So what we see here in Bethlehem, what I can see, is that there's a settlement that they're still working on, and it seems to be getting bigger.
Mm-hmm.
We know that there's settlement construction going on throughout the West Bank and the Gaza Strip, and right now in the Security Council, of course, there was a resolution being worked out against the building of the closure wall, referred to often as the apartheid wall, and also to the new settlement construction, the 600 new units that they're going to be building, and also to the invasion of Rafah. Of course, the U.S. vetoed this, and despite a great deal of international pressure and international condemnation, the Israeli government seems to be getting away with doing whatever it wants. What do you think of these negotiations of UN resolutions, of the roadmap, of the Switzerland agreement? Do you have any faith in any of these kinds of agreements to be able to stop the Israeli military government from doing what it's doing now and what it has been doing since its inception?
I lost this faith long time ago with such agreements and with such arrangements. I lost faith with the international community to interfere and do something and to stop the Israeli military from doing anything. And we really, most of the Palestinians don't believe that they are going to change the situation. I will gain this faith back when I see real changes on the ground, when I see that Palestinians' life will dramatically change and will become much better. And unfortunately, the change has been worse and worse and worse. We have been living in more difficult circumstances more and more and more. Although this roadmap they talk about all the time, and although any political efforts, I believe at the end of it there should be negotiations. But negotiations should happen among equal parties, and among that there will be the international community interfere and guarantee and be an honest broker for peace, not just a just peace. I mean, not just a ceasefire or anything. What we really need to see is real changes. We need to see a limit for the Israeli army. We need to see stopping the land confiscation. We need to see withdrawal. We need to see a change. We need to see hope. We need to breathe. Without this, we really can't have any faith in any of these agreements.
Thanks so much for talking with us. George from Bethlehem.
Hello,
reporting from Bethlehem Occupied Palestine, I'm Kristen S.